Tucson at 12:04. This is Ray Allen sitting in on the other side of the glass now for Bill Buckmaster and Alexander on that side of the glass, helping us out so that I don't have to do it all by myself. That'd be kind of difficult, wouldn't it? So I am filling in for Bill. Bill is now officially on vacation and traveling, I think, to Boston first. Going to hang out there for a day. So that should be fun for him. So we have a good show ahead of us now today. Second segment, we're going to talk to Candace Martin from the YMCA about summer youth employment. We'll also have Officer Elijah Woodward and the American Legion talking about flag disposal and scams in Oral Valley and how we can avoid those scams. And also Sean and Brad Malone, the co-directors, about a new sports documentary about the 1988 Wildcat basketball team called Wild and at Wild About 88. Should be a very fun interview there. To start off the hour, though, we do have J.P. Holyoake, the chairman of the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. Now, if you want to call in on the subject, I would recommend dialing now at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. J.P., welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Ray.
Yeah, so you are the chairman of the Campaign to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. You live in Paradise Valley and own two marijuana dispensaries in Scottsdale and one in Peoria. You're the head of the Arizona Dispensary Association and a conservative Republican. And you came to marijuana late and discovered medicinal use of marijuana for your young daughter who has Aicardi's syndrome. JP and others are trying to change the way that marijuana is regulated in the state. JP, can you just go ahead and tell me a little bit about the story of your daughter and how medicinal marijuana helped her and how it brought you to appreciate it?
Sure. So, as you stated, I am an unapologetic conservative Republican, and I grew up in the environment of the DARE education and certainly in opposition to marijuana as well as many other substances in both schools and households that I grew up in. And so I grew up with this perception of marijuana being something that was horrible, something that was bad, and I believed all of the scare tactics and fear tactics that my parents and other educators had used on me at the time. And then that continued on through adulthood. And then about 7.5 years ago, my first daughter was born. Her name is Reese, and she was born with Aicardi syndrome. Now, Aicardi syndrome is a rare and unusual genetic condition that essentially her brain is not formed correctly. And so seizures are a symptom of that malformation. So naturally, we took her to the best medical care that we could possibly take her to, doctors after doctors. We ended up on the pharmaceutical merry-go-round. We were trying drug after drug. None of them worked. All of them had horrible side effects. And then in 2010, Arizona passed the medical marijuana law. One of the qualifying conditions under this law was for seizure control. Naturally, this caught my attention because I was dealing with seizures every single day with my daughter. At the time, she was having between 25 and 35 seizures a day. Each of these seizures was lasting between 8 and 12 minutes.
Wow.
So we literally spent years with her where she was non-responsive because she was simply having seizures all day long, every single day, and she wasn't developing at all. So when we started to take a look at cannabis as a treatment, we went to her physicians and we asked them about it. They gave us varying answers. You know, one guy told us kind of jokingly about his years at Harvard. Another physician said, well, we don't have a ton of research on this because marijuana is a Schedule I drug, and therefore we're not even permitted to do the type of research that we'd like to do. And then one of the other physicians, who was actually the head of the neurology department, said, we've got everything to gain and nothing to lose here. So okay. We tried it. And cannabis was very successful in controlling seizures. The difference in her life before and after is tremendous. You know, prior she was simply seizing constantly, really had no quality of life. We were simply facilitating life. Now, after cannabis, she's more or less stopped having seizures. She still has an occasional seizure. She'll have one every 5 or 6 months now.
Wow.
She is out of a wheelchair and walking independently. She's feeding herself independently. Mm-hmm. She's laughing. She's smiling. She's playing. She's getting into stuff. And she's developing. Now, she's certainly still a special needs child. Nothing is going to change that. But she has a tremendously high quality of life because of cannabis that she didn't have before.
So it seems like a successful story. My next question would be, since we already have medical marijuana here in Tucson, or in Arizona rather, I'm assuming your daughter's helped by it. So why should we take it a step further to make it, regulated like alcohol?
Well, once I became engrossed in the cannabis industry, I came to realize the absolute fallacy and failure of the policies of prohibition. Now, this isn't really a debate whether or not marijuana is good or marijuana is bad, or if marijuana helps some people or if it doesn't help other people. That's really not the question here. The question is really simple in my mind, because marijuana is here. That's a fact. It's prevalent. That's a fact. Prohibition has been an abject failure. That's a fact. So when we start looking and saying, okay, what are we going to do to address these things and actually create a more regulated structure, I think that the solution is taxation and regulation, and then we send that money to our schools for education purposes, rather than keeping it illegal and uncontrolled and simply enriching criminal drug cartels.
Got it. So I want to talk about the tax incentive or initiative that you have, or the tax issue that you have within the initiative itself.
Uh-huh.
The text says in the initiative that there will be a 15% tax on the retail price of marijuana. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's a 15% surtax on top of ordinary sales taxes.
Okay.
The proceeds of that, 80% of which go directly to the Department of Education, 20% of which go to the Arizona Department of Health Services.
Okay, so here's my question. The Washington Post had an article last Wednesday that said legalized marijuana is getting very cheap and very quickly. And, I understand the idea that prohibition of something will keep costs high. But in the article, they point out that in the state of Washington, the price of legalized marijuana went from $25 to a little over $9 an hour in just about a two-year span. And it shows that the price is consistently lowering 2% every month and 25% each year. So my question is, on the tax part of the initiative, if the price of marijuana consistently goes down, are you not going to be getting less money that would be intended to go to education because of the lower prices, because of the deregulation?
Sure. Ultimately, we don't know that answer right now, and we won't know it. Now, we can look at Colorado, for example. We know that in 2015, Colorado sold almost $1 billion worth of total marijuana. It was about $996 million. We can do that math. We can translate that pretty darn easily here to Arizona and have an understanding of what that looks like. Do we continue to see the price of marijuana go down over time? I think that there's probably some truth to that. When we look at the cost of production of just about any commoditized agricultural crop, you tend to see prices decrease to a certain point. It's ultimately going to be a supply and demand equation, and that's what's going to dictate the prices more than anything else.
Okay. So now keeping with the initiative, a lot of people are concerned about, say they're sitting at a restaurant and eating. Are they going to be, smelling weed while they're sitting at a restaurant?
No. Absolutely not. Public consumption is expressly prohibited by the initiative.
Okay. A new study by AAA that was released Tuesday, you might have seen it, I don't know, says that in Washington, the state that has legalized marijuana, that drivers involved in fatal crashes nearly doubled from 8% to 17%. And some of the science behind the detection of THC in the bloodstream is in question there in that AAA study, because they say that it's there's no consistent and fair way to detect when someone is technically under the influence of marijuana, and it doesn't work the same way that it does with a blood alcohol test like it would if you're getting pulled over for DUI. So what do you say to these claims, and how can you regulate marijuana like alcohol if there isn't an equitable way to test if someone is impaired?
Sure. There's a couple of questions. I'm going to address the first one. Going back to that AAA study, it's really interesting because that needs to be put in context. Even what the article says and some of the snippets that the prohibitionists are continuing to use as the fear tactics need to be put in the context. So this is something that's pretty interesting. The researchers of that study were very careful to point out that drivers who tested positive for marijuana may not have actually been impaired or even at fault in the accidents. And from the executive summary on the bottom of their own page, It says, quote, results of this study do not indicate that drivers with detectable THC in their blood at the time of the crash were necessarily impaired by THC or that they were at fault for the crash.
Got it. Got it.
What they also saw was that the study, it was 3,031 drivers from 2010 to 2014. Just 3% had only marijuana in their systems, whereas half of them had marijuana and alcohol, and more than 25% tested positive for other drugs.
Okay.
Now, here's something else that's absolutely fascinating when we talk about this topic. So last year, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration released a major study examining accident risk associated with use of alcohol, marijuana, and other drugs, which it called the largest and most carefully controlled study of its kind to date.
Okay.
Now, what they found was that they found that naturally alcohol dramatically increased accident risk. But it found after controlling for alcohol and other demographic factors, drivers under the influence of marijuana were no more likely to crash than sober drivers.
Got it. Interesting.
And then now we also need to look at Colorado, because Colorado was actually the first state that implemented its adult use program. From 2014 to 2015, DUID, or driving under the influence of drugs, citations for marijuana in Colorado actually went down.
Wow.
And the director of marijuana coordination in the governor's office of Colorado said this was particularly noteworthy because, number one, there was more traffic on Colorado roads in 2015 than 14. And number two, the state increased its DUID enforcement efforts during that period of time, yet there was still a decrease in the number of people found to be driving under the influence. And we need to credit that to Colorado's education efforts, because they've come out and they've created television and radio ads saying, hey, look, folks, it's okay to consume marijuana. It's legal in the state of Colorado, but it's not legal to then get behind the wheel of a car.
Talking to J.P. Holyoake, the chairman of the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol, quickly, do you have all the signatures that you need so far to get it on the ballot?
Sure. We need about 150,000 valid signatures.
Mm-hmm.
We're currently sitting at about 215,000 total collected signatures.
Okay.
We're collecting for that buffer now because we know that some
Got
of the
it.
Signatures are going to be invalidated for numerous
yep.
reasons.
Can you tell us more about how we can learn about your efforts?
Sure. You can go to regulatemarijuanainaz.org is a great place to go.
Okay.
Check out our website there and see what it is that we're doing.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much, JP, for being on the show. And if you have any more questions, again, that website was, let's see.
regulatemarijuanainarizona.org.
All right. Really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on the show. Want to remind everyone that is a listener here that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by Green Things. It's the place for all things green in Tucson. Bill just raves about Green Things. I need to make my way over there because I need plants for my house. You know, they have all of your plants, the pottery, and gardening supplies on a beautiful 13-acre location at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, also west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com. We'll be right back. This is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Ray Allen on KVOI, The Voice.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster with some exciting news. You could win a $1,000 or a $500 travel voucher to one of 16 nonstop destinations from Tucson International Airport in the Travel Smart with TUS contest. Register for free through Tucson International Airport's Facebook or Twitter pages, or go to the website TravelSmartTUS.com. Good luck. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Good afternoon, Tucson. 12:22. I'm Ray Allen on the Buckmaster Show, filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. This show, portion of the show, is brought to you by Janos Wilder's Carriage House, an event space and cooking school located at 146 East Broadway in downtown Tucson, in a lovingly restored 100-year-old building there. It's a 4,000-square-foot space, has a new state-of-the-art catering kitchen, and can accommodate 160 guests at sit-down events and 200 at lecture and reception events. Visit CarriageHouseTucson.com for a full listing of the upcoming events at the Carriage House in downtown Tucson. Well, it's nearly summer, and it's already probably going to be 100 degrees today, it's sad to say. And that means the YMCA is busy and looking to fill summer positions quickly, particularly youth jobs in Tucson. Candace Martin is the YMCA Aquatics Program Director, and she joins us now to talk about summer youth employment opportunities in our city. Candace, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm so glad that you were able to be here. Can you tell us about what the YMCA is doing for the summer when it comes to youth employment?
Well, we have tons of opportunities that are great for building your resume. We not only have them for childcare, we also have them in the aquatics department, as well as member services opportunities throughout the Southern Arizona community.
Got it. So tell me about the positive impact here that this has on youth employment broadly in the community, and then tell me specifically how it works at the YMCA, you know, how long someone will work at the Y, all of that stuff.
Well, the good thing about the Y is a lot of people come to find a second home at the Y. So a lot of people come to us because they grew up here or they took lessons here or they attended basketball camps. So we have a lot of people that are already connected with our culture and the relationships that we have in the Y. So they come to us for that, hoping that they can have employment. And so through the employment, we have opportunities as well as training opportunities. So even if you don't meet the qualifications or the prerequisites for the trainings, for instance, like lifeguarding, we have those opportunities to get you in so that you can become certified and get that opportunity as a lifeguard or swim instructor. And then throughout the year, there's multiple different programs that you can be a part of. A lot of our staff throughout the year also go to additional trainings to help build up their leadership skills or be a part of different programs that are around service. So one of our biggest ones is All Kids Swim this summer, which is our huge drowning prevention program in the community.
And that's important, especially here in Tucson. Wow. So I kind of want to focus in on one thing that you kind of addressed a little bit, and that's, well, starting someone's career, and that's a big thing here in the in this community. And it's helping young people build resumes at a very young age, right?
Yes. Definitely.
So what does it do for people that may or may not be in interesting life circumstances? I guess it can help them get a job as well.
Yeah, it really can. You know, the one thing that the Y has that I think has really separated us against other organizations is we've really found a culture for support. So we're understanding that certain circumstances happen. We understand different backgrounds, but we accept everybody. So we really try to lead them in the right direction, giving them their tools that they're needing, as well as opportunities that they may not have other places. And the good thing about the Y is even if you're not planning on staying in Tucson, the Y is everywhere. So you have really great opportunities to, if you move or if you go to another school, your job can transfer over.
That's encouraging. That's great. Candace Martin, you're the director of the YMCA Aquatics. Now, we had talked before the interview, and apparently you are a beneficiary of this program. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, you know, it's interesting. After I started working for the, well, when I first moved to Tucson, I came here for college at the University of Arizona, and I wanted a place that I could do something positive in the community as well as stay active, and I was a swimmer at the time, so I wanted to be a lifeguard, and so I came to the Y. One of my friends recommended it because of the swimming program that we had, and they encouraged me to get involved with coaching, and so I actually became a coach and a swim instructor up at the Northwest YMCA. And over the years and over my college career, every year I would kind of step into a different role. And so now I have kind of come to lead the association as far as the All Kids Swim program, and I've really learned to love to grow it because of all the opportunities that I see with the kids and the families, and I directly get to see how it impacts them. So kind of what has made me really want to be a part of the Y for long term.
It's an encouraging story. It sounds like they've done actually a lot for you to help you out in your life.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the one thing is throughout the nation, there's tons of opportunities, tons of trainings, tons of conferences to help you grow outside of your own department. So they really try to give you opportunities to make you well-rounded as a professional.
So tell us about some of the jobs that are available now in the Tucson community.
Well, the good thing is that we have multiple locations. So no matter where you are located within Tucson, there's an opportunity for you. Starting on the east side, there is our Family YMCA off of Broadway and Prudence. And they have a few openings for child care professionals, aquatics professionals, and member service professionals. So they're really looking for those people that are really going to have that direct connection with our members. And no matter if you're going to school or have a passion for health and fitness, or if you have a passion for youth development, there's a lot of opportunities over at that site. At our downtown branch, we service a lot of active older adults as well as professionals in the downtown district. So, of course, we have a pool here, lifeguarding opportunities, swim instruction opportunities. We have tripled our lessons at the downtown location this summer. So we're really looking for those people to help fill in those spots, as well as we have a couple health and well-being personal trainer and group exercise instructors for various programs. And then one of our great sites that we have is Triangle Y Ranch Camp up in the Catalina area, and they have a great program throughout the summer. It's an all-day camp. The kids stay there. They have tons of great experiences, so we're looking for camp counselors up there. And then we also have our Northwest and our Lighthouse branch, which is in central Tucson.
Okay.
And both of those locations have a few openings. They're a little bit more specific, but definitely every location that we do have has availability. So we really encourage people to just drop off their application and let us know what they're interested in, because we definitely want people to be excited to come to work and grow and be a part of the Y.
Of course. Now, quickly, can you tell us just how we'll find out more, the website, that kind of information?
Yeah, our website is fantastic now. It's very user-friendly. When you go on TucsonYMCA.org, there's going to be a tab at the top that says employment, and when you click on that, it will give you all the employment opportunities within the association, and it's broken down by department. For instance, child care, aquatics, health and wellness. So it's very user-friendly, and you can even submit your resume through the email address that's located on the website.
Great. Candace Martin with the YMCA Aquatics. Thank you so much for being on the show. I hope to have you back at some point or another. I hope that people will find some summer jobs, especially youth here in Tucson. It sounds like a really good opportunity.
It really is. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, great. We're going to take a break right now, and then we'll come into our next segment. After this break, it's going to be Elijah Woodward and Ed Davis. We'll talk Oro Valley and the American Legion. Should be a very fun time. Catch you back on the other side, AM 1030 KVOI and the Buckmaster Show with Ray Allen.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Lewis.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Dave Barry.
Great to see you.
Hey, it's Ryan Jeffries.
Thanks for coming.
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Joseph Blair.
You're
Bill Viner.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Hussey.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Aren't you?
Bob Logan.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Hey, it's Gilbert. Gilbert Luna, our director of operations. He's incredible. So good to see you. How you doing, Gilbert?
I'm doing great. Hey, Ken, looks like we did it again. Another five-star event.
Man, wait until everybody finds out what we have in the works, like our Monteverde Grill. It's a gourmet kitchen on wheels, a five-star restaurant. It's incredible. And our new high-tech selfie photo booth. Wow, it will be a hit at any special event. Learn more online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Amma Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster. So 12:35, it is a Thursday. Bill Buckmaster is out of the studio today because he's, well, for a long time actually, about 3 weeks, because he's on vacation. And he's going to miss the first 100-degree day probably in Tucson, which is kind of sad, but that's all right. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Coming up over the Memorial Day weekend, it's the 20th Silver City Blues and Bikes Festival, featuring legendary blues master Taj Mahal. For complete listings of the many things to do and the great places to stay, like the Bear Mountain Lodge and Bear Creek Cabins, also the Georgetown Cabins, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Speaking of Memorial Day, it's fast approaching. Here to talk about what's happening in Oral Valley is Officer Elijah Woodward with the Community Resources Unit, and Ed Davis, who is the post commander of the Oral Valley American Legion Post 132. Welcome, guys.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Nice to be here, Ray.
Yeah. So your first time, is this your first time being at a radio station?
It is indeed, yes.
it's a fun time, man. It's a very fun experience. So, Elijah, you and I had initially talked because we were talking about the flag disposal that's happening in Oral Valley. It's already been happening, and it's continuing up until Memorial Day. Can you tell me more about the program that you guys have there?
Certainly. So we actually started this off last summer when we had the flag-raising ceremony going on over at the new community center. And leading up to that, from July 4th to 9/11, we actually started a flag collection program. And in whatever 60 days that is, we collected over 700 flags, which comes out to about 20 a day. And even after that, we still had people coming by the station, dropping them off. You know, friends and coworkers would come up to me, "Hey, are you still taking flags?" Well, I'm not going to say no, so yeah, absolutely. And coming up here Memorial Day, I was talking with the boss recently, and she goes, "Hey, let's do that again, because it seems like there's still a lot of interest in it." So we partnered with Golden Ranch Fire and, of course, American Legion, because they're the ones who do the proper retirement of the flags, and said, "Hey, let's do this again." And, yeah, we've been filling up boxes all over the place.
Good. Now, Ed, I'm curious, what does the process look like to properly dispose of a flag? You know, how do I know when my flag is ready for disposal?
A couple things you should look for is if it's tattered, discolored in any way, faded, it's time, you know, time to replace that flag with another flag. And the retirement program that the American Legion has, we call it the unserviceable flag ceremony. It's a very formal ceremony, yeah, during which the unserviceable flags are retired in a very respectful mm-hmm. and dignified manner.
Wow. Sounds like a very good program. So what does that actually look like? What do you guys do when you dispose of the flags?
Well, again, it's part of a formal process, and a number of our American Legion Post members are in uniform, mm-hmm. and there's a script that's written for a number of the officers mm-hmm. of the post, and the actual disposing of the American flag, there's only one official way, one sanctioned way to do that,
yeah,
and it's by burning the flag. Uh-huh. Each flag is burned, actually burned to a point where there are no ashes. So
wow.
It requires intense heat.
Yeah. So where do you guys do that?
We have a special location in Oro Valley,
okay,
where you're kind of out of the way.
Yeah.
But it's a wonderful program because it gives members of the community opportunity to dispose of their flags. Most people
in the proper way.
In the proper way.
And feel, you know, not feel bad about doing
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Like, oh, most people stick a tattered or worn flag in the corner of a garage and they wonder, now what do I do with
yeah,
it?
Exactly.
Well, this is a great program for, you know, giving them a chance to dispose of it.
Excellent. So Elijah, where can the flags be dropped off if someone wants to dispose of a flag properly now?
So at any Golder Ranch Fire Station and at the Oro Valley PD Main Station.
Okay.
And, of course, at our substation up there in Sun City off of Rancho Vistoso.
Okay, good. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that the Oro Valley American Legion Post is doing in the community up there. I was looking at your events page on the website, and you guys have an event coming up called Run for the Wall. What is that?
Run for the Wall is a national program, and it's don't recall how many years it's been taking place, Ray, but the purpose behind it is really to raise awareness mm-hmm. of the issues facing veterans of the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
You know, bring awareness of the Agent Orange issues mm-hmm. and the fact that there's, thousands of POWs, I'm sorry, MIAs,
yeah,
still missing from the Vietnam War. So the idea is motorcyclists from around the country form up various parts, beginning as far west as California.
Yeah.
And there's four different routes, southern route and then two midsections and a northern route. And those groups of literally hundreds of motorcyclists travel west to east across the country, and on Memorial Day, they meet in Washington, D.C. They ride to the Vietnam Memorial Wall
yeah.
in Washington, and they hold ceremony there, again, to raise awareness of the issues facing
yeah.
the Vietnam veterans.
So now when they stop, they're going to stop by the Tucson region on Thursday, May 19th. It's going to be at the Chevron gas station, Miranda exit 236, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. When they stop by, do they pick up people from the Tucson area to go with them?
They do indeed. In fact, there's riders that will join these four different cross-country groups at various points. Some will just, you know, enter the highway from an exit and form up with them.
Wow.
Others will form up anywhere along the route. But, yeah, there'll probably be 40 to 50 riders from the Tucson area that'll form up with them
wow.
when they make the Marana stop.
Now, do you go out? You've been out to these events.
We
I'm
go out
sure.
there. Our members go out there, and we form along the exit, Marana exit, with American
oh.
flags.
Oh, that's
and welcome along the way. And the Marana stop is the petrol fuel mm-hmm. Gas up.
Okay,
so they're there.
And they're there for 2 hours, you know?
They're probably there for an hour and a half.
Okay.
They fill up, and then they have a ceremony there. Usually there's people there to provide snacks for them before they get back on their motorcycles.
Okay. And again, in keeping with Memorial Day, there was another event coming up with the American Legion at the Evergreen Cemetery. Can you tell me what you guys have going on as far as that's concerned?
Yeah, it's a ceremony, a Memorial Day ceremony, open uh-huh. to the public. And our American Legion Post, along with others in the greater Tucson area, we have a memorial service,
yeah.
Color Guard, and we have a number of guest speakers mm-hmm. from the community. And it's really, again, just an event that is open to the public, that where we celebrate Memorial Day and honor those have who have served in uniform,
yeah,
and who have made the ultimate sacrifice.
Sounds like a good event.
It's a wonderful program, and again, everyone's invited. It's Memorial Day that Monday. I believe it begins at 9.
Uh-huh.
9 a.m.
Wow. Well, then a lot of us should be out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Memorial Day kind of just turns into a day you barbecue. You
know,
yeah,
I know.
Think about
yeah,
this kind of stuff.
The beer cans get open. I know it.
It's not really what it's supposed to be, I think.
So, you know, so you take an hour and a half, 2 hours at morning, and, you do what's right.
Now, Elijah, I want to bring it back to you just for a couple of minutes here and talk. You know, we were talking before the show about Oral Valley specifically and some of the other issues that face Oral Valley residents. And you were telling me that one of the issues you guys are focusing in on is scams in Oral Valley. Can you tell me what's happening in Oral Valley with regard to scams?
Well, a lot of fraud, a lot of people impersonating various organizations, and it really comes down to two things: imitating some kind of entity that would be some kind of authority figure, and then on top of that, adding in some sense of urgency.
Okay.
So the big ones that I wanted to bring up were the IRS. You know, especially right now, we're just getting done with tax season. That has just been absolutely huge. My sergeant is actually getting phone calls from an IRS agent on her work voicemail.
Really? No.
Letting her know she has an arrest warrant. So, and I keep telling her, well, pay your taxes. And we laugh because they're also the IRS agent here in Tucson that is responsible for PIO stuff, Special Agent Brian Watson. He even got a phone call on his work voicemail from one of these fraudsters claiming to be an IRS agent. And yeah, it's just unbelievable to all of these people. So that's a big one. And the big thing we always go back to with this stuff is trust but verify. You know, if it's TEP or the water company calling to say, hey, you're late on your bill, you need to pay us. Okay, that's fine. Well, let me verify that.
Of course.
The other big one, too, lately has been there's different variations of it, but the warrant scam, you know, a deputy or somebody will be calling you and say, hey, you missed court or you were supposed to be a juror, so there's now a warrant out for your arrest unless you pay $500, right? And I don't think get-out-of-jail-free cards are that cheap. So, yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
It really is a shame. Gosh, guys. Yeah, and you would know all that stuff.
So, again, trust but verify. If you have any concern about any of this stuff, yeah, make a phone call.
Wow, yeah. Well, you know, Memorial Day is coming up. We just talked about it. I hope people can get out to one of those events we have. And if they have a flag, they can retire it properly at any Gold or Ranch or Oral Valley Police Station. Elijah Woodward with the Oral Valley Police Department and Ed Davis with the Oral Valley American Legion, thank you so much for being part of the show. I really appreciate you guys coming on and telling us all the things that are happening.
Thank you, Ray. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. We'll be back here on the Buckmaster Show talking about Wildcat basketball. It's going to be fun. We'll be right back.
Keep your family and pets safe from bee stings. Call the professional pest control team at Five Star. We give you options in dealing with this situation. We can remove them with our special equipment or send them to bee heaven. Call the professional pest team at 886-0045 or visit fivestar-termite.com.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Good afternoon, Tucson. 12:52. I feel like I'm a sports reporter right now. It's great. Not used to this. This is Ray Allen filling in for Buck Master on this great Thursday afternoon. In 1988, I was only 2 years old, but it was when I was in the crib that I was learning how to say loot, and it was there that I was taught to love Arizona basketball. 1988 was a special year for the Arizona Wildcat basketball program. And here to talk about their new documentary, Wild About 88, are brothers and co-directors Sean and Brad Malone. Guys, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be here, Ray.
Yeah, it's excellent. Thank you, Ray. Yeah, so, you know, the funny thing, I came across your guys' film in an interesting way. I was on Facebook, and I just had been watching so many 30 for 30 documentaries on ESPN because I love them. And I had posted, you know, what would be a good 30 for 30 documentary story about U of A sports? And I was trying to, you know, ping my audience to see what they would say. And right away, someone posted your guys' trailer and the campaign that you had put on for your film. So tell us about what it was about the 1988 season that made it so special.
Well, that's awesome. I guess that means our viral marketing is working a little bit.
It was working.
Yeah, I mean, that team was just the lightning in a bottle team that got the fire started in Tucson, and that fire was the passion that people have for Arizona basketball. I mean, before that, you know, Arizona was a place, as Greg Hansen once put it, that John Wayne made a couple of Westerns, and, you know, it transformed itself into a basketball town and really found an identity in basketball and in the Wildcats.
Yeah. Well, we have names that are now, you know, staples in the basketball community on a national level, and you have people that were on that team that are staples even in the local community, just names that you can say and people will know, like Steve Kerr, who's currently, you know, coaching the hottest team in the NBA, and Sean Elliott, who played for the Spurs and is now a commentator.
Exactly.
A lot of exciting people came out of that team. It's a pretty dynamic roster, was it not?
Sure. I mean, Kenny Lofton, Brad Brad, take it from here. You know, Harvey Mason, take it away, Brad.
Yeah, someone actually said one of the most interesting things about that team is probably the most talented players on that team, just in life, didn't even play in the NBA. I mean, you got Kenny Lofton,
yeah,
who was borderline Hall of Famer, multiple All-Star appearances, and then Harvey Mason, who's produced people, you know, like Michael Jackson, and he's done a lot of other A-list R&B singers. And movie
seven-time Grammy winner. Seven-time Grammy winner.
Yes.
Now.
And then you mentioned Steve Kerr. It's like, obviously, we're hoping for a three-peat or a four-peat. That would be really good for our movie.
Yeah, I'm sure. more publicity if you can get his name out there more. What are some of the other names that you have in the film that you interview in Wild About 88?
Sure. I mean, we've interviewed a lot of the sports writers who covered the team, people who worked for the Star and the Citizen back then,
mm-hmm.
people like Jay Gonzalez, Greg Hansen. We've interviewed Brian Jeffries, the voice of the Wildcats. And then on a national scale, we've interviewed Jay Billis, the ESPN college basketball analyst. And
he's everywhere.
And you know, he had nothing but good things to say about Lute and the culture that Lute built here, and just the transformation that was really – that took place in the 1980s under Lute's tenure.
Yeah. So one of the more interesting stories that kind of resonates with me is the story of Steve Kerr. You know, he's obviously all over the news now with Golden State, and his story is kind of similar to Steph Curry. I went back and read some of Lute's book, and he was talking about how he recruited Steve, and it was kind of this just underdog story, and he was someone that was underestimated, yet performed well and continued to do that throughout his career. And I think fans really associate with underdog stories in sports.
Well, the funny thing about Steve Kerr is that no one really had offered him a scholarship. I think Gonzaga had maybe looked at him, but they said no thanks. And, you know, Lute Olson was actually looking for some other player, and Steve Kerr happened to be there. And they said, come back, tonight, and we'll do an open gym. And Steve told all his friends, hey, guys, can you kind of, let me just shoot the ball. Don't cover me. I want to make a good impression on Coach Olson. So they did that. And even as they walked out to the car, Coach Olson asked Bobby, his wife, what do you think of Steve? And she says, you got to be kidding me. So Bobby Olson, her first impression of Steve Kerr wasn't, puppy dogs and rainbows. So
yeah. And it's those stories, I think, that kind of we find compelling. The same story, I think, is similar with regard to the Arizona team in 1988, because leading up to that season, Lute Olson came, 1984, and prior to that, the Arizona Wildcats were a terrible team. I mean, they really weren't they really weren't that good. And Lute Olson was coming off, a Sweet 16 loss at Iowa? So, why did he make that decision to change? It's interesting that someone would come in and try and take something that is nothing and make it something.
Yeah, it's funny. When we talked to Lute about that, he said, things had gotten to the point at Iowa where, he couldn't go out in public. He couldn't have a meal, at a restaurant without someone, tapping him on the shoulder and kind of, nudging him as he was bringing a bite of food to his mouth. And he thought, maybe Arizona has what it takes to be a good basketball school, and maybe I could be left alone a little bit in Tucson.
Yeah.
But of course, we know that's not what happened. He built the program, and then the Tucson fans, became just as or maybe more adamant as the Iowa fans did. But
of course,
such was Lute's fate,
Yeah. We're talking with Sean and Brad Malone, co-directors of Wild About 88 sports documentary. I want to kind of address quickly Sean Elliott, a local kid that played in the 1988 team. Tell me a little bit about him.
Yeah,
well,
Brad,
the interesting thing about him is that he played a stone throws from McHale Center. And when Lute Olson, before he came, Sean Elliott was such a great he was just a big college basketball fan. He would go to McHale and watch the games, and no one was there. he told us that one time he was sitting in the very – he got tickets to the very cheapest ticket, the top of the McHale, those old yellow seats they used to have. And he just walked his way down until he was in the second row. I think this was the Ben Lindsay year, the year before Lute came.
Yeah.
And, but he had a connection – I think back then, it wasn't, the internet wasn't around. It wasn't the AAU scene. So there wasn't a way to really discover Sean Elliott.
And,
he was a little bit off the recruiting trail.
Yeah. In the 30 seconds that we have left, I'm running out of time. I think we owe pretty much the 1988 season to a lot of what we've seen in the Wildcats, do we not?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, that's, you know, if you talk to anybody involved with Arizona basketball, and they'll tell you that the 88 team are the standard bearers. They're the ones that did it first, you know, the first Final Four, first number one team in the country. I mean, that year they just dominated, and that's going to be a big part of our story is just how incredibly good that team was. One of the best college teams, you know, ever, not just at Arizona. So, you're right. They really got things going for the program, and we see that fruit being yielded today because
Thank
of that.
You.
And Bob Elliott once said, the great from the 70s, you know, he was part of some great teams at Arizona that when Luke came, you know, the fire had been lit. It just needed to be lit again.
Yeah.
And
that's
Luke
awesome.
Came, that happened.
That's awesome. Hey, Sean and Brad Malone, co-directors of Wild About 88 Sports Documentary, thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate it. You guys need to Google this documentary. It's going to be great when it comes out. Coming up next, we have the Medved Show. We'll have another show for you tomorrow. This is Ray.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.